Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Our next guest wrote one reason for optimism for all 32 NFL teams. We put in the DMs, Jake, yeah. Like the expert booker he is, jumped on it. And now we're joined by Dalton Wasserman, PFF analyst and contributor on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Dalton, welcome to the show.
How's it going, guys? How are we doing today?
Living the dream. How about yourself?
Oh, fantastic. You know, we're just getting one day closer to the season. We feel like that dead period in the off season now, but we're getting closer to it.
Isn't it funny? Just real quick. Isn't it funny how we all think that way, and yet none of us are really wanting in any way for summer to be over, which the return of football does signify?
Yeah, it is kind of weird how it kind of, it's like, okay, vacation's over, and now we get in back into that everyday grind of the season. But yeah, we'll enjoy it for now, and then once we get to the preseason, especially up there in Cleveland with as wild as training camp is about to be, it'll be a lot of fun up there. But no, for sure, it's certainly nice out now, and we're enjoying it.
So when we get to the big picture here of teams that have more reason to be optimistic than others, or teams that have more reason to be pessimistic than others, before we even get to your, you know, one reason for optimism for the Browns, which category do you think the Browns fit in more? More reason to be optimistic or more reason to be pessimistic about the 2025 season?
I mean, about 2025, I just think because there's so much unknown with their offense, right, and an offense that was already struggling last year with the quarterback situation and the offensive line injuries and all that, it's hard not to be a bit pessimistic about it, right? And I think they even kind of tipped their hand a little bit in the draft when they traded out of the Travis Hunter pick, and they're preparing for the 2026 draft. Now they have 2 first-round picks next year. We still don't know if whether or not their franchise quarterback is on the roster. We're drafting 2 of them this year. So, you know, just with the offense, and we know every year it seems like the NFL gets more offensive minded, right? Even though there's some good teams with some good defenses. But when you have this many questions at key positions, at quarterback, receiver, offensive line, it's tough to have a ton of optimism for a season coming.
All right, Dalton, what was your one reason though for optimism and why?
Well, as usual, it's arguably the best defensive player in football, and that's Myles Garrett, right? And anytime you have Myles Garrett out there on the field, you've got a chance to at least keep yourself in the game on defense, right? Even through all the Browns' struggles last year, with Garrett out there, they were one of the best front sevens in football. He's a game wrecker. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's a former Defensive Player of the Year. When he's out there, the Browns can keep themselves in games, which gives you at least a little bit of hope if you're talking about the offense of, okay, they don't need to have the best offense in the league. They just need to do enough to complement their defense and not put them in bad spots. We've seen them with Myles Garrett in the front seven alone before beat good teams, beat the other teams in their division with just their defense, right? Beat the Ravens and the Bengals and things like that, but they have to play a certain style of football. But it helps to have arguably the best defensive player in the NFL at number 95, and certainly to get him extended, and I know they're paying him a lot, but he's worth every dollar.
Dalton, you work at PFF, which likely means you're much smarter than me, but I look at the Browns' plan, and I see what they're selling, which is we're going to return to the wide zone blocking scheme. We're going to return to 12 personnel. We're going to return to the play action game based off a power run game. So they're calling back. They're hearkening back to the days of yore, 2020, 11-win season, playoff win. 2023, you at least made it to the playoffs, 11 wins. And also banking on this defense getting back. And then I look at the quarterbacks, and it's just, you know what that, I mean, that's 4 quarterbacks that none of us should expect to seriously compete in the NFL this year. So I'm just curious, like, what do you weigh most with this team, whatever the hell they're trying to do at quarterback, or this idea of, we'll just go back to what we used to do when we were actually good at this football thing?
Well, I think we have to remember that's the foundation of Kevin Stefanski's offense, right? Coming from that Shanahan, Kubiak kind of tree that he comes from, right? Is that wide zone run game and the bootlegs and everything off of it. And look, I think he's aware that this is going to be a long-term project, particularly with the quarterback and with the offensive line where you've got four of the five starters are going to be at least 30 years old come opening day, right? So there's going to be an adjustment that needs to be made on the offensive line. That's the one part I was a little surprised they didn't draft a single offensive lineman back in April, but they're just going to hope that this group is healthy and they can get back to the foundation, right? If you can get these two running backs, Quinshon Judkins and Dylan Sampson, acclimated to it, right? You mentioned the 12 personnel. I think Harold Fannin Jr. is a really good complement to David Njoku there at tight end, right? They got to find some more wide receivers around Jerry Jeudy, but I think it's smart. If Kevin Stefanski has been told or there are indications that he's going to be there still long-term beyond 2025, I think it makes a lot of sense to get back to the foundation of the offense and just doing the fundamental things right while they're still acquiring talent over the next couple of seasons.
Dalton, some of your bread and butter is obviously college football. You do a college football show over there at PFF. So I got to ask you, Dylan Gabriel was really, really good in college. Shador Sanders, really, really good in college as well. Were you surprised that both of them did get drafted this year? And what are your expectations for the two of them?
I was certainly surprised they got drafted by the same team, and I was in the boat. Look, I'm a huge fan of Shador Sanders. I thought he was going to go a lot earlier than that. I thought he was clearly one of the two best quarterbacks and had an argument as the best quarterback in this draft alongside Cam Ward, but there were other things that obviously went into him dropping as far as he did. I was shocked that Gabriel went ahead of Sanders, but what you have in both of those guys, they're leaders on the field. They're very accurate. They see the field well. I think especially Sanders sees the field like an NFL quarterback, even though he doesn't, you know, maybe have top-notch Josh Allen type of arm strength, and Gabriel's the same way, right? So I think the one thing with Gabriel, and it's something that even I saw down at Senior Bowl practices, and maybe you guys are seeing it at the OTAs, and you'll see at training camp practices, is struggles in the red zone. Between the 20s, he's really good, but in the red zone is really where Gabriel needs to improve. And Sanders, he just has to go out there and prove that he has that NFL level, that physical talent, enough arm strength to survive out there on the field, right? Especially if you can protect him, I think he can make all the right throws. So, you know, either one of them, I think, has an equal shot when you're talking about it's just Flacco and Pickett in front of them, maybe to win the starting job, but it's going to be a long process. But I like both players. I like Sanders especially a lot. Even the guys in my building, they know me as one of the biggest Shador Sanders fans. So we'll see where all that goes through training camp in the preseason.
Dalton Wasserman, PFF analyst and contributor on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The Browns have two first-round picks in 2026, and there's really two ways of having this conversation. Either we act like Arch Manning doesn't exist because we don't think he's coming out after next year, or Arch Manning's the only quarterback that's ever mattered. I'm just curious, to this point and what you've seen from him in college, are we rating him as the far and away best player in next year's draft, the presumptive number one, generational talent, all the things thrown out there, because of what we've seen on the field, or the name on the back of the jersey?
Look, we haven't seen much on the field, but what we have seen so far is that he's really, really good. And I know it's tough to make assumptions, and you always have to go through the process and the scouting process, but look, he's a Manning that can run. And that's something it felt like we would never, or at least they haven't said since Archie, but you can see the polish. You can see the easy arm strength and the mechanics. You can see the athleticism. And, yeah, he's got to play a bigger sample of SEC football. He only made two starts last year and played sparingly otherwise. But I think in that system with Steve Sarkisian and his knowledge of the NFL, you can tell he's got the Manning pedigree behind him. I would expect that if he were to come out next year, I would assume that means he had a great season, possibly a Heisman-level season, and could be the number one overall pick. If he doesn't, then you turn your options to, you know, somebody like, is it Garrett Nussmeier from LSU, Sam Levitt, Arizona State, Cade Klubnik from Clemson. There's a lot of other guys in the mix there behind Manning, but what we've seen so far from Manning has been spectacular.
Are the Browns wasting our time if they start Joe Flacco at all?
Boy, that's you're asking the tough questions. Now, I mean, if you're talking long-term and trying to build this organization for the better for the future, I'm a fan of playing younger players, you know, like Sanders or Gabriel, if one of those two guys proves capable of starting, just to see what you have and see if you have, what if, you know, by some miracle, one of those two guys looks like a starting quarterback, looks like a franchise quarterback, right? Then you walk into next year with two first-round picks, and you could go, okay, we could take the draft's best offensive lineman and a wide receiver and start building around this guy. So I get the idea to transition and not put one of those young guys in danger, say, early in the year, week one, week two. But, you know, I don't see a point in somebody like Flacco or even Kenny Pickett starting the entire 17 games. So we'll see. I'm sure we'll see maybe three or all four of those guys at some point this season. But I do think it's a long-term project there on offense in Cleveland. And Flacco obviously being 40 years old doesn't help you a whole lot.
Dalton, in the interest of getting back to, I would say, boom or bust potential college quarterbacks or lightning rod quarterbacks, I think everybody's pretty split on Drew Aller. He's from just down the road in Medina here in Ohio, obviously at Penn State now. I'm curious whether how you look at him going into potentially his last year in Happy Valley, and whether you think he's closer to being maybe a top five picks next year, or maybe being, you know, having the kind of Christian Hackenberg-esque slide that we're used to with Penn State quarterbacks coming out in the draft.
No, he's better than Hackenberg. He's more accurate than Hackenberg. And I think, you know, there's still some footwork and accuracy things that he needs to work on. And he's going to be in his second year under a fantastic offensive coordinator in Andy Kotelnicki. I think the things, you look at Aller, and he's got all the tools. He's got a big body. He's mobile enough. He doesn't have A-plus mobility, but he's mobile enough. He's got an absolute rifle for an arm. I mean, he would walk into the NFL right now with at least top 10 arm strength. He throws down the middle of the field very well. He stands pretty strong in the pocket. Just got to continue to clean up some footwork and ball placement things, especially towards some of those outside throws. But, no, I mean, if Penn State really revamped their receiving core this offseason and they feel like they're going to be a more balanced offense, there's a chance that Aller could be a top 5 to 10 pick. There's some people that thought he would have been a top 10 pick this year with the thinner class. But the potential is there. Right now, I wouldn't say as he is that he's a top 10 pick next year, but there's absolutely a chance because Penn State is loaded and he just has to adjust the life without Tyler Warren there.
What are the names you're paying attention to possibly be taken number one overall, including if obviously Manning stays?
You've got Garrett Nussmeier down at LSU. He's got a good pedigree. His dad's the offensive coordinator for the Saints now, and he's got kind of that classic pocket quarterback feel. A guy that a lot of people are in on right now is Lenore Sellers, who is a dynamic athlete. He's 6'3", he's 240 pounds. He just looks like a monster back there. He's one of the best rushers in college football, and he's got an A+. You talk about a guy with Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, level arm strength. Lenore Sellers down at South Carolina has it. Just has to work on underneath accuracy. And then, you know, Cade Klubnik at Clemson, he's in line for a big year. He got a lot better last year, and basically everybody came back to Clemson this year. I think Clemson is in for a potential national title run this year after making the playoff last year, and Klubnik will be the centerpiece of the offense. So you'll hear a lot about him as well out of Clemson. Keep an eye on those two schools in South Carolina, Klubnik and Sellers down there.
Dalton, great stuff as always. This is exactly why we had you on. Mm-hmm. You brought the fire. We appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Dalton Wasserman there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, PFF analyst and contributor there. Anytime you're trying to put your kind of expectations together, or like, what is this team going to be? There are things that they've said to us that I think make a lot of sense. We're going back to wide zone. I've always thought that's a great, going all the way back to like the initial Mike Shanahan usage of it way back in the day. I love that run blocking scheme. I also think it's fun for offensive linemen because I think it's a little more freeing and you get to move a little bit more and you get to hit a lot more people. But going back to the power run game, I think now more than ever it makes sense. Everybody's running the ball. I think falling back on an elite defense with maybe a really great defensive line, we'll see where your back seven is, right? Like there are things that they have espoused that makes sense, and then you just come back to, all right, you're short on talent at the quarterback spot until proven otherwise. You probably need a number one wide receiver. I don't know what you have with Njoku, and we're still projecting anyone from Judkins to Jerome Ford to Samson to be bell cow backs. Yeah. So there's just a lot, like it's in an offensive league, your offense might be the worst built offense in the NFL.
It seems like they're taking the right approach to making the meal. It's like, but the ingredients still aren't going to be good enough to make a 5-star meal. Like, yeah. It's like, we're watching. We're like, we see what you're doing here. You're on the right track. You're, you know, you got the pan out. You're warming it up. Everything's good. You put the butter on there. Like you're on the right track.
This is a really interesting.
I've had food on my mind. Yeah, I've had food on my mind all day.
You get a skillet and then there's butter in there. And then, you know,
I was waiting for you to hop in. I was waiting for you to hop in and then do something with your grill. And I was like, he's gonna one-up me with the grill scenario.
But I treasure every bite.
But they're doing it the right way. Like, they got the right idea. It's just they just don't have enough talent here. And that's where the ingredients come in next.
There's something about the way you described cooking that make me doubt you actually know how to cook.
Well, as I was describing it, I was very well aware we were not doing a good enough job for you. As I saw your face be like, oh no, he's not, this is not,
was
this
it,
is too,
was
this
it
is
the
too
malice
simple.
In my eyes?
And then I was like, I gotta see this through. So I was like, we gotta
it's
get to the
just
butter.
Just like cooking.
And I was, in my mind, I'm like, how can I dumb it down even simpler to just try to get you as agitated as possible?
No, we're looking like, all right, you, of course, you gotta saute the onions and a little bit of, you know, a little bit of oil there. I prefer canola. You might want to use avocado, whatever.
No, but the point is that they didn't have good enough ingredients. So you have to like, but like you look at it and it's like, okay, you're off to the right start. You're doing some of the things that we'd like. The point with the Browns is like they got the right idea. If you don't have a quarterback, how are you going to try to win in this NFL? You got to go defense, and you probably got to run the ball a ton.
Well,
but the problem is that it's just not going to be enough, even if you have the right thought process for defense and for a power run game.
And to use your to use kind of one of your things, they're also trying to split the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like they.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I know that there's a cap to how much they can win. I think if they were really honest, in front, just citing the quarterback spot alone, we like Joe Flacco. He hasn't been relevant for but six games in a decade as a starting quarterback in the NFL. We don't like Kenny Pickett. Some of you might. I don't know why.
We had a lot of Kenny Pickett supporters in the week that you were gone,
Kenny,
by the way.
Kenny has been, did they come out of the woodwork because they felt
Dylan
safe?
Dylan Gabriel supporters, too. No, I think what happened is they fell into the idea that I like Shador Sanders, and so I think they were just trying to piss me off.
Also, it was like you, when you finally were like, this is not the analogy I was going for, so I'm just going to be like,
yes.
And then you put the butter.
Yes.
And you mix the butter up, and so the butter's mixing, and then, of course, other ingredients.
Exactly. There's something about me that when I get excited about things, people just want to, they want to trample all over the fun of it. It's a me thing. It's a me problem we got to work on.
We all agree.
Yeah.
Now, that said, I just continue to come back to the idea. Like, I think they're so much more realistic than I think fans are being right now. Because I've heard fans buy into, I think we're going to do 10 wins this year. Well, hey, listen, we're not going to be a 10-win team. I think we're going to be a 500 team. And it's like, you look at the quarterback. So I think they're honest about it. And meaning, like, internally, I think they're probably... But the problem is you're going to do the thing, the split the baby moment, I'm finally getting there, mm-hmm. finally landing the plane, is you're going to win enough games to maybe preserve your jobs, but you're probably also going to win enough games to move yourself out of contention and having to trade up, at which point you might have to give up three first-round picks to get to the number one pick
sure.
or number two pick. Like at some
no,
point,
but they're
we're
cool
just,
about it, Nick. They're cool about it as long as the first part exists where their jobs are preserved. That's it. That's the whole goal for them is preserve the jobs, is make sure that your jobs are safe so that you get a crack at whatever quarterback that is in 2026 if none of these quarterbacks materialize, and then you have an opportunity to show everyone what you can do from there. Like that's what it's all about for these guys.
I think
that's why they're not sweating it.
So I agree with you to some degree. I also think even though I know that this is a prevalent mentality in the NFL, I don't think every person in every organization is in constant cover your ass mode. I don't think that. And I don't think that's the only thing with the Browns. I think the Browns might more actively be thinking, well, we can get to 7 wins and that'll be, we'll double last year's wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be able to make decisions on all these veteran guys who will be cuttable if we have to, tradable if we have to. And so we can then reset the deck and then trade up for whatever pick. The problem is, one, somebody's got to be willing to trade down.
Right.
And it could be a three quarterback class and there's three teams needing a quarterback at the top of the class.
Could definitely happen.
Two, this thing is not how they build. I think you can. I absolutely, with the right kind of leaders, I think you can, or the right kind of ownership, where everything from top to bottom is in ship shape and everybody understands the score. I think you can build culture in a 7-win team. I really do. That's not how this is. No, there's millions of theories on the ownership. I do think these guys are really smart and shrewd Ivy League guys who view sports from a detached prism. That is just not how I, as a fan, view it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not a, like, 7 wins is not a real accomplishment here. You're not going to be like, well, because we won 7 games last year, we won 11 games the next year. That's because that's not who Kevin is as a leader. It's not what I perceive Andrew or the high-level leadership to be. I think that's the thing that's, if this, and I'm not trying to say this because he was just here, but he's the guy that I think of when I think of Tommy Toughasses that I actually believe. This whole leader of men thing, it absolutely is like a generic blanket thrown on it. It's just guys that are secure enough in themselves to deliver the God's honest truth and do it in a way that guys respect them for. And I don't think that's what you have here. I'm not saying, this is not, oh, we don't like Kevin. No, they like Kevin. And they like him more when they're winning, and they like him less when they're not winning. And by the way, to me, I think that is like 26 out of 32 NFL coaches.
Well, and even like the Eagles didn't get that 100% right. You know, Jalen Hurts and Sirianni were arguing a week before the playoff game about who was actually responsible for all of it and bickering back and forth. There was an article the Athletic had before the season got underway, before they won the Super Bowl, about how they weren't sure if the two of them even liked each other.
But I think we're in an interesting spot where I think everybody's got a right idea. It's just, I think it's going to all end up in some middling kind of thing that doesn't get you any closer to where you need to be. And I think it's some resistance to the obvious. I think, like, yeah, the Deshaun trade was the biggest failure in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
You made the biggest oopsie. You having a job right now is the miracle.
Right.
Like, whoever the Pope was, the previous Pope, he should be canonized. That those two guys weren't fired, those three guys weren't fired immediately. When it became apparent that the Deshaun thing was the biggest mess since the Titanic. Like, that's the water we should be swimming in. And now it's like, well, we're going to do just an, we're, hey, we got, and it's like, no, you're not going to win. You're not going to win to the level where you can say, hey, look what we just did. And if you do, you have unless it's with Shador or Dylan Gabriel, then you have a different problem, which is how much can we pay Kenny Pickett or, all right, how do we stick with Joe one more year and then draft a quarterback?
Like, you're saying if it works out.
Like, even the success of this has its complications.
Yeah, for sure.
And
yeah.
So it's just, and so specific to like Dalton's point on optimistic versus pessimistic, I totally see what the Browns are doing. And I don't think it's like the I don't think it's necessarily tied specifically to job preservation to the extent that you do, even though there's some common ground there. I just think it's really weird, and I think it's a great assessment of like the NFL media on a national level, what matters to them and what they buy and what they sell. Because there's a lot of people drinking this Kool-Aid, and it is very obvious the ones that are, and I don't know why they are. We can surmise why they are, but like there is nobody in the building. There's nobody in the world. All right. The new Pope. Young Pope is summer
calling. Brought it back
him.
To Pope. I was curious how you're going to do that.
The Chicago Pope. He can come out here and do a full Benedictine Latin Mass on why the Browns are the true follower of the light of the Lord and why 2025.
This feels like the cooking with butter thing all over again. I don't know.
It's tit for tat. I'm not afraid to do it. But like, and I'm not going to buy it. Like, just like at some point, like, I think there are people who are just like, well, I like Kevin Stefanski, so I'm going to suspend logic. Okay. All right. Good luck with that.
I guess I'm trying to figure it out. So do you feel like the national media is, are they talking too high on the Browns right now?
Yeah, I think they're acting like everything.
Like, what I like about Dalton was at least like, the reason why you have optimism is Miles Garrett exists.
Well,
that's a good reason. Okay.
Even like, that's got nothing to. He was like, well, but that's what Stefanski was good at. Well, it helped he had good players. It helped he had like a, I don't know, Ring of Honor. I know he's not a Hall of Famer. Am I allowed to say that, or is that homerism? Because we're talking tough here. That's a, hey.
Daryl one-upped him. He said he $1 bobbed him. Said he can't put him in anything.
I'll be honest with you. He's no longer an NFL running back to me.
No. Yeah.
His career never happened. That's how tough-talking I am on Nick Chubb.
There you go.
Yeah. You know what? His career ceased after Georgia. But we just don't acknowledge it. It never happened. Now, where were we? Benedictine mess? That one?
Lost me completely.
No, I just think this. So to me, it's more they're looking at things. And again, the Browns are presenting them as logic, right? The logic is we're going to go back to who we were. Oh, well, we're going to fall back on that. As if it's that easy.
Well, also as if that suggests that that's like a winning thing to do to begin with anyway.
Well, and
again, like falling back on, again, power run game and a bunch of great defense. The Steelers have been doing that for 15 years.
Well, and like the Steelers bottom has been like your middle limits. Like their worst has been 500, which has kind of been like your, I don't want to say it's not your worst, but it's not good is what I'm trying to say.
It's a tough spot.
Words are hard.
Yeah, words are hard. Well, you were off all last week, though. So
that's true.
That makes it, you get like the...
That's true. I was on fire for four segments, guys.
Couple hour, you know, let's put this all together.
Honestly, this whole show has been like cooking with inferior ingredients.
Yeah.
No, this segment, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
In the after...
How does it tie into the Pope again?
Dalton Wasserman, not a Pope. Dalton Wasserman, great at what he does. I mean, he gave us day-old veggies here.
Yeah.
He gave us an inferior cut of meat.
But he did what he had to do with it.
He did.
Just like the Browns are going to have to do.
And like French with cooking. I don't know where we landed on there. No, I just, specific to what Dalton said, every defense of the Cleveland Browns, I just feel like, I really do feel like every time we have somebody, like, you guys think the Browns are going to be bad? Like Albert does once a month.
Like we're shocked by that.
Yeah. Albert does it once a month. And I just, every time he does it, I just want to be like, Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, Shador, Dylan.
Yeah, but then again, on the other side of that is it's not as if like all these rankings, anyone comes out smelling like roses as far as the Browns are concerned. They still end up 32nd in a lot of these different rankings. FBI still has them as the number one team to get the number one overall pick next year. Again, PFF, where Dalton comes from, had us as the 32nd best team.
Yes. People that actually do things from a statistical basis actually have this team where it is.
Which is where the Browns live, by the way, which is why I think they have a handle on this.
It's the people who traffic in rumors and innuendo that have galaxy-brained their way into being like, this could be a very competitive 9-win team. I mean, they'll be the 9th seed. But man, people are like, I'm glad they didn't get in the playoffs.
I think people just look at it like, and maybe you get too many ifs attached to this, but it's like, if this goes right, and if this goes right, and then you're three or four ifs down the line, and then, you know, reality strikes in. Maybe also when they come on with us, they don't know who we are necessarily, and so they get worried that they just want to speak positives to us.
Well, that's preposterous.
Because they think that we're just a bunch of homers, and we're only going to accept homer answers.
They know exactly who we are.
Maybe they're like, oh, I don't know. These guys, they only want to hear the good things, and they've been beat up so much, we might as well just feed it to them.
Imagine sitting on hold for 60 seconds while we intro a segment and thinking, these guys want to be cuddled to. These guys want to be homered too.
I'm just thinking of Wasserman as you came on and calling him the Waz and all these other things.
Well, I don't think I called him the Waz. I called him the Waz the previous segment.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mocked him not when he was on hold.
No, never. That's not how we do things.
And I was more mocking the idea that was a guest that I apparently said.
You loved him.
And all I did
you wanted him.
Was put a PFF link to a story.
That was your guy.
That had like a topic that I wanted to go.
Did the Waz deliver the way that you want?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Out of the Waz to deliver?
I don't think he did. He was fine. Is he worthy of the Waz? He's not worthy of the Waz. But is he? He's very. We would have him on again.
You know what?
Absolutely.
It is? You know what you do when you do that? It's you remember the old Budweiser frogs commercials? You're doing the Waz version of the Budweiser frogs with the Waz.
Waz.
We got yeah. Budweiser. That's what it is.
The Peterlin Pass coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. It's a middle-aged man. And
we have those in our sales staff, by the way, in case you're curious.
Just a couple. We collect them.
We got dozens. Yeah, like they're Pokemon cards.
And I'm not biting now. I'm not going to do it. I choose you, Pikachu. Doing it. I kind of did it there. But I look up, and initially I see that he's smoking a cigarette, mm-hmm. which is not healthy, but I get it.
It is a little abnormal in 2025 to just see people just smoking, though.
We're just trying
Not so abnormal that it's like a video worthy, but it is abnormal.
Am I the only person that misses it a little bit? Like
you miss it?
I miss people smoking more.
Why?
Because I would love to smoke, but I'm a fat asthmatic and I can't do it. So I'd rather ingest your secondhand smoke.
So you like the smell of it is what you're saying?
Yeah. I grew up in a family full of smokers on my mom's side. That smells like home to me.
Yeah. Every now and then, when I catch a whiff of someone smoking, I'm like, the bowling alley where I grew up.
It takes you right back and you're like, oh, man. I wish those two uncles that smoked like that didn't have cancer and pass away, but I'd love to.
Did you have a lot of family members? Do you have a lot of family members that smoked inside the house?
Yeah. Yep. And so the house, even, by the way, my mama's house forever. My mama does not smoke.
Your
but
kids
she
probably think this is a crazy concept, by the way. People just smoking inside the house.
Absolutely. Smoking in general.
Yeah.
Is crazy to them. Like I had a pack of cigarettes that my cousin left in my truck. And my kids saw it like, Dad, you can't smoke. It'll kill you. It'll kill you like fast. And I'm like, no,
they got the right idea. It'll kill you fast.
It'll kill you slow. And you're going to enjoy it a little bit more than if you'd lived a longer life.
You give them the speech of like, yeah, I mean, some people live to be 85 and doesn't ever get them.
So
works in weird ways.
And by the way, if you live to 85 and then it gets you, you won.
Then you won.
You gamed the system, kid.
You beat it. 85 is a good number.
But don't smoke. Seriously, it's bad for you.
It is really bad for you.
Yeah, don't do it. But you just like the smell.
So you saw this guy. He was smoking.
He's puffing on a heater. And I'm talking about like aggressively. We're talking about like at a rate that is like, this is not just a dude on a break. He's smoking to get through the moment.
He sees a nuclear bomb coming and he's like, this is my last go.
Yeah. And then in between, he like huge, huge inhale, huge exhale. And then immediately sipping on a Monster energy drink.
Oh, it was a Monster. For some reason, I thought it was a tall boy.
He's chasing it with a Monster. And I'm talking about chugging it. So what you don't see in the video is, that's a second Monster. It was a second Monster and a second cigarette. I'd had that much time to observe this man in a 10-minute span of watching this human being out on the street today. He had two cigarettes and two Monster. I don't know how he didn't die on the spot.
Some days you just need it, Nick.
I
some days
know.
You just need it. I want to know what he was going through. Is this an everyday thing?
I want to know, like, did a marriage take a turn?
What a disaster.
Right? Your marriage takes a turn and, like, Monster is your solution to it. Then, like, you really, you're not even in that bad of a spot. Like, there's a lot of things you can go to that isn't Monster.
I think it's that and the smoking in a small amount of time. Because if he did two each in 10 minutes on the street, I'm going to say those aren't the only cigarettes or Monsters he had today. He's clearly like, now the other one is, because this is if you got like a terminal diagnosis. Because if I got a terminal diagnosis tomorrow, I'm picking up smoking.
Don't you hold out for the cure? I feel like I hold out. I know it's terminal, but like I feel like you hold out for the cure. It's like I'm just gonna be the one that is alive when it happens.
So you're gonna dribble out the shot clock?
Probably, yeah, probably.
What if it's like, okay, I've seen people, it's like, you got 5 years to live.
There's a part of me that would, I don't know why I feel this way. I'd be really concerned about dying with dignity, and I don't know why. Like, because there are people that, like, you get that diagnosis, and then it's like, yeah, and then he just went off and just did all sorts of stuff, and
he just had fun.
I don't know why I care about that. I'd be like, no, I want to be like, yeah, he went out the quote-unquote right way. I don't know why part of me being dead, I wouldn't care. I'm dead, but part of me would care about that.
I want to be a living legend that this man was given 6 months to live. And
create a lot of seedy friends.
Well, I mean, he...
yeah.
We
found him in that meth house, and I don't know what happened.
I would just walk into a bar and get into a fist fight just because I hadn't done it in 20 years. Let's just see where this goes, right? That's where my... But...
And then woman!
You spend your dying days in a prison cell because you're like, you tried bartering with the cops. No, I beat up that guy because I hadn't been in a fight in so long, and I wanted to know how it felt.
No. You dip, dive, duck, dodge. You lie. Hey, you called me a word you can't say. What word was it? I'll say it, but then you got to know that's why I hit him. I'm dying. Like at this point.
Yeah, okay.
We're in an endgame scenario.
I think I'm dying plays better than that phoniness of the, he said a word I can't say. The cop's still going to be like, you can't hit him.
There are words that a cop's going to give you a free pass on. I can't. That
depends
one,
what
not,
type of damage you're doing here. Like
not
you
if
want
they
to
call
you
me that word because that one doesn't play for.
But you want to get in an end of life bar fight. You're probably not just going to go ahead and You're going to hit him with old Pride and Prejudice here, aren't you? It's going to be a 1-2 punch.
You're right. I should just say, I'm dying. I needed to feel alive.
That's what I thought you were going to do. I thought that was going to be your game plan the entire time. I'm like, hey, guys, this is it for me. I just wanted to know. And maybe even barter with the guy that you hit and be like, I'm sorry, but this is like, I'm dying.
Do I do it after or do it?
Oh, you know what you need? You need like me to come up afterwards to anyone that you assault or anyone that you get in fights with. And I come up with this card that like, because cards make everything official.
That's true.
And I just give
you're
him
bringing
this,
a succulent,
I give
maybe?
Him, maybe. That might work too. And I give him it and be like, hey, listen, he's never going to tell you, but he's dying. Like, he's dying.
But you know what's not dying?
Give him some grace.
This succulent. I hope somebody brings a succulent.
The beautiful thing about a succulent.
It actually would be able to prove a couple things. And one, it'd be a great wingman move by you backing me up and just be like, he's just going through it right now.
If I owe you and you not even know that I'm there to go ahead and clean up the messes, but I'd be like I'd basically be your fixer.
Yep. But I'd want to know you're
there. I'm your Ray Donovan.
I would want to know you're there because it'd give me even greater powers. But
you'd catch on eventually. You'd be like, they let me do everything.
But I would want to know.
Everybody has succulents now.
I would want to know the succulent success ratio.
Yeah.
Meaning, all right, you handed out 100 succulents.
Card. Yeah, it's your calling card.
How many of them got me away from prosecution or, you know, judgment or whatever it might be? Nick got really, really hammered and ran down Main Street drunk. And nobody complained because everybody got a free succulent. That's a 10 for 10.
I'm just tossing out succulents left and right. Yeah, everyone's got their calling card. It's like, you know, the bank robbers in the early 1900s, they'd shoot up the side of the buildings to leave their mark on it. That would be it. My mark for you is just a nice succulent.
It's Nikki Public Urination, and you can tell because they left a succulent behind.
It's a serial puncher. You can tell by the succulents.
All right, The detective walks up. All right, what clues do we have? It's another damn succulent.
Just a really this nice succulent.
It's just a large man. Didn't look entirely healthy. Punched a guy, and then somebody else came along and left a succulent. You gave your sister a succulent?
It was for her birthday.
With a really nice card. It was really thoughtful. I mean, he totally should go to jail. But I mean, if you're going to commit crime, this is the way you do it.
Talk about dying with class, Nick. That's how you die with class.
216-474-0092. I need to know right now today, what are the situations that can throw you into, I need two cigarettes and two energy drinks, all of which are designed to kill you, in a 10-minute span on the side of while you're in work regalia? I need to know, like, what's the... Because honestly, it's Vanessa's leaving me. Honestly, you got 6 months to live. 5 years to live, I think I could deal with. But 6 months to live, that's just not enough time.
I feel like there are a lot of people listening right now. Maybe not a lot, but there are definitely people listening right now being like, oh no, is this really, like, we're going to that extremes with that? Because they're, as they take down their two Monster energy drinks and are smoking a cigarette right now.
Oh,
they're like, this is the pit of despair?
If you need that on a Monday at noon, this is more than a Diet Coke fix, to quote the great Ralphie May. You're going through some stuff. Let's just open up. And JP will give you a succulent while we're at it. Jason Pinkston, former Browns offensive lineman, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.